God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame, Jesus, awesome in power forever. Sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory. And great is your name. You overcame. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Anyway, good morning again to everybody. Again, welcome all you visitors. For you who don't know who we are, Reaching Out Ministries, we have a couple of radio stations across Manitoba, I guess, one in Alberta. We do YouTube. Pastor Dave Wallner is the founder and the senior pastor. And I'm secondary pastor, and my brother Steve is also pastor. And for you who don't know us, we take for granted we don't have too many visitors, so everybody knows everybody here. We are also, me and my wife and my daughter, we sing. We have a singing ministry and called the Wallman Family. And the people who sang up here were Steve and Ann Wallman and Mike and Ange Teason. They always do the special numbers every other week. So just so you're filled in, we don't have pamphlets here to show what's coming up here. We're not very organized in that way, but because we're all familiar faces here, but I see visitors here, so I'm sure you're interested in knowing what's going on and who we are. And again, we are non-denominational. We are under the banner of only one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. We build upon that. That is the only thing that is worth arguing about. Everything else, don't worry too much about. But we stand on the cross of Jesus Christ, as everybody here will attest to. we will never and will not be moved from that message. Everything else, the Bible says, will fail and fall, but His word will not. And that word we stand on, that this ministry stands on, is the cross of Jesus Christ, which provided an escape from our old to the new, from the old life to the new, and it was made possible by Jesus. So we have become new things. Are there new things, new depths to discovering this in this born again life? Absolutely, there is depths you can go into. As a matter of fact, you could go so deep you lose a lot of people. You lose a lot of connection with the base. So you have to be very careful on how deep you go and how deep you talk, or even with what God shares with you. Sometimes what God shares with you is intimate. It's just like between a husband and wife. You don't share everything. You want to keep that a secret. Keep it a secret. Sometimes God shares deep things with you that is for you and God. Keep it that way. Because somebody will tell the wrong person and they'll rob you of that joy that you have and that personal relationship that you have with God. And remember, it's personal. What you have between you, yourself, and God is a personal relationship, and that's what He desires. We're all unique. There is none better than the other. Like last week, we had a dedication for those young kids. To me, my granddaughter is slightly elevated in my heart. Are the other ones important to God? Same level. But remember, we're biased a little bit as humans. And I don't take anything away from the other two couples that were up here. Their baby is precious and just as precious in the sight of God as anybody else's. And I meant that as a joke last week. Don't take it personal, guys. So Jesus loves little children, except I love my granddaughter a little bit more. It's a joke. It's something else. I've never been at that point in my life. So if somebody would have told me how it feels like to be a grandfather, I would have had to say, okay, I'll take it by faith. I believe it. But now I have experience. That's how faith is in the natural. Once you trust and believe in Jesus, you have trusted Him, He becomes real. Something happens. That's why it's for me so hard to believe. If somebody had been given something by Jesus, something would happen to him, that he would forsake it. You might turn your back on it a bit, but to God you'll never fall. That is for me hard to grasp, that I will ever walk away. Oh, I can walk away from Jesus. No, I don't think so. I don't believe that for a second. Anyway, I have a scripture that I want Brendan to put up there for now. I know I've been down this road before, but we teach in kindergarten, they teach kids by repetition, the same thing over and over. So that's how I have to teach myself, repetition. One day I'll get deeper than just the superficial meaning of the scripture, but for now, Romans 15, verse 4, out of the King James Version. So for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. That's why we have the Old Testament. This was written, he was referring to the Old Testament, but now we can also refer to the New Testament. But Paul had the Old Testament, and everything that was done, all the miracles and everything that happened in the Old Testament were written so that we might have hope. And this is why what I want to base my message off of is the hope we have if we have faith. But before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for His blessings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Lord God, we come before your throne of grace, knowing, Lord Jesus, we need grace for whatever we do, and we are thankful. I am most thankful for your grace, for I have learned that without it, I am a failure. But with it, I can go from glory to glory. So thank you, Jesus. You will show up here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here to do whatever you need to do to touch every heart. I know everybody here is important to you. So if there is only one word that will apply to somebody, you will make that loud and clear. So I pray, Father, your blessings over everybody here and on this word. In Jesus' name I pray this. Thank you, Father. You may be seated. In Hebrews 11, I'm going to go out. It's the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews. The last few weeks I've been in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews was primarily written, I think, by the Apostle Paul, but we're not going to make a religion out of it now that it's been written by the Apostle Paul and call ourselves the Book of Hebrews by the Apostle Paul Church, but it could be by some. It could have been written by Timothy, I don't know. But I seem to think it was written by Paul just by the way he wrote it. But then again, that doesn't matter. He says it was written to the Jews, to the Hebrews, who were still caught up in the law. Read it from that standpoint, and you will begin to understand a lot of the things the writer is writing about. And these Hebrews still wanted to keep the law, circumcision of sacrifice. And Paul was, or the writer was telling them, no, something happened here. The veil has been torn. We cannot sacrifice anymore. There was one sacrifice. He says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So he had one. There was one offering made that all the other offerings for 3,500 years couldn't do. So Jesus came and was that offering once and for all. So in starting out, Hebrews 11, first verse, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that we have to trust. You have to choose to try. It's a step you have to take. I don't know if you guys have ever watched, there's a movie where this guy had to, I think it was Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, he takes a step. There was nothing there, but once he took the step of faith, something appeared. That one always spoke to me every time I watched that. It's as if God will make something happen when you take a step of faith. That's what happened there. It was always there, he just didn't see it. So once he took the step, he saw it, but then he threw something on the, it was a transparent, basically, sheet of glass, and then he saw the pebbles that were sitting on there, so he saw it after that. But my point is, faith is, you don't have to physically see it to believe something. It can be there. Just take a step of faith. Say, I trust you, Jesus. I choose to trust you. Something will happen, I guarantee you. It's happened in my life, and I'm sure many of you can testify to that too. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, this is a very good scripture. It says here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is rewards if you continue down that faith path. In Hebrews 11, verse 7 to 8, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And the reason he says that here, there has never, ever been rain. So Noah believed God that there will be a flood. So he moved with fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And also by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, he went out, he didn't have a clue where he was going. And yet he went, and he's the father of us all. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And look who she is. Don't overlook that. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. This was in Jericho there, where the whole city went down. And this one harlot got saved because she dared to believe the spies that came. And she saved them from destruction and hid them for a season. And then he goes on to say in Hebrews 11, 32 to 38, there are some good scriptures in here. And what shall I say? What more shall I say? But time would fail me if I tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, and of David also. And you need to look at some of these guys' lives. Gideon, he was a man of little faith. He wanted to prove for every little step he did. He wanted sign. A sign, this was God. I mean, God looks at signs as a sign of having very little faith. But if you have even a very little faith of God, with God, he can do still mighty things. and of David also in Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, this is what you could do. Here's the choice they made. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained mercy, promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. Remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said to Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to your idol, and our God is able to save us, and even if he doesn't, we will still not bow to your idol. And you can read the story of what happened next. They were not even the smell of smoke was upon them. Only the ropes were burned that held them. And the people that threw them in were burned up. The men. Women received, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That means they wanted to go on to the next life. They didn't want to continue. So they rather went through that to cut that short. But some of those who knew the power of God, and we're the same, we have that same power. We can either submit or succumb to whatever life throws at you, or we can stand up. We had a lady here one time from Rwanda, and she gave her testimony on how the genocide happened in Rwanda there. And she was in line to get butchered, basically. She was one of the ladies or one of the people that was picked out. And she said to the devil, you are not going to kill me today. So when they came to her, the guy looked. She said it was a shorter guy. He looked at her, and he turned around, and he ran. And she somehow got onto a bus, and she escaped out of away from the genocide there, and God preserved her, and she came to Canada. And she gave the testimony right here at Reaching Out Ministries, which is, she also wrote a book about it. So God does mighty things. If he can do them in Africa, he can most certainly do them in North America. Continuing here, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover, of bones and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, which was Isaiah. It was sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Wherefore, also seeing, it's in now Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. This is now talking about all those witnesses. This chapter has a lot more to offer than what I just read. But in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, King James Version, it says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, that's all these people, these patriarchs and these saints that did these mighty exploits and these mighty things they succumbed, took over kingdoms, they laid down their lives, however which way they chose to go, they did mighty things for God's purpose on this planet. And we have this witness, this great cloud of witness. And he tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So your faith has an author. He started writing and it is finished. Let us walk in that. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the witness we have from the Old Testament. Now, how do we apply this to ourselves? What does that mean for us now? How do we translate that into the purpose of it in our own lives? And so how to apply this chapter in your walk with a faith, and how to strengthen your faith in relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33. It starts with this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God first thing we have to do, seek that first. And what? His righteousness. Not your own. His righteousness. And then what? And then all these things will be added unto you. So if you do not do this first, there will be nothing added unto you. So this has to come first. When we look at these words of Jesus, we immediately find them to be most radical. The most radical that human ears have ever heard. He flipped things on us with these words because, well, as I continue reading, you'll see what it's getting at here. Even the most spiritual-minded of us argue that the exact opposite, saying, but I must live. I must make a certain amount of money. I must be clothed. I must be fed. The great concern of our lives is not the kingdom of God, but how we are going to take care of ourselves to live. That's what we worry about. How we live, our bank accounts, how much money to have in there. Our freezers are full. We almost don't need God. The people that where mighty signs and wonders happen in Africa live from day to day, not knowing what they'll have next. They don't have the luxuries we do here. So it is a lot harder here to go out and walk out and step out in faith because we, if our freezers get so and so empty, we panic. So Jesus reversed, the great concern of our lives is not the kingdom of God, but how we are going to take care of ourselves to live. Jesus reversed the order by telling us to get the right relationship with God first. That was unheard of up to that point. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is telling us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Maintaining it as a primary concern of our lives, never to place our concern on taking care of the other things of life. Don't worry about it. In Matthew 6:25, it says, do not worry about life. Our Lord pointed out that from his standpoint, it is absolutely unreasonable for us to be anxious. Is anybody anxious? Jesus is telling us it is. You're not really having faith in him. You have head knowledge and trust only as far as your head can think that. But your faith deep down, you have a relaxed joy in your heart that everything is okay. In spite of interest rates going out of control, food prices skyrocketing, are you still relaxed in your heart knowing God is going to take care of you? Whether you believe that or not, he will still take care of you. But you'll still just feel foolish later on when you look back and you say, man, he did take care of me. He did take care of everything. Why was I so worried? And the time will come. So either you start relaxing and enjoying what he has to have and not look foolish later on, or you look foolish later on. It's your choice. It's our choice. Some people are careless about what they eat and drink. They suffer for it. So even there, if you ingest garbage, guess what you'll produce? They are careless about what they wear, having no business looking the way they do. They are careless about their earthly matters, and God holds them responsible. So there are consequences for our actions in the flesh, in the physical. Don't think that they will not have consequences. So before you do anything, before you say anything, think. Think first. I always like to think before I say something. It doesn't always work. Sometimes I'm not going to say the word. Your tongue gets the best of you when you say things you shouldn't have said, which you later on regret. It is one of the most difficult yet critical disciplines of the Christian life to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into absolute harmony with the teachings of Jesus in this verse. But it is critical for your joy. See, doctrinal differences that bring division come from not seeking the kingdom of God first. It's the truth that sets us free. If you cannot fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ anymore, then we are not free. I have run into so many different denominations, brothers who I've known very well, who've gotten carried away with certain doctrines. They don't fellowship with you anymore. They can't, because you don't agree with them on certain, or they don't agree with you in certain terms. To me, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, are you born again? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Let's talk. Let's start from there. Let's start from seeking the kingdom of God first and see what happens next. And let's continue from there. We do not need to fight about things, about how to get baptized, how to do this and how to do that, what clothes to wear. We don't need to fight about it. Let's start from scratch. If you fight about that, go back to the original and see where that leads you to. Maybe you've missed out on the original part of God's plan, and that leads you down to different rabbit trails which are insignificant in this life and don't matter much. So seek and know the truth, and it will set you free from all doubt. That's what will happen when you seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's a verse in Timothy where Paul says, they're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's because they do not want to know the truth. If that will become, seeking the truth, if that will become our greatest desire, all other hidden treasures of Scripture will be added unto you, including the humbleness of being right. I will repeat that again. If seeking the truth will be your utmost desire of moving on in this life or going forward, if that will become our greatest desire, all other hidden treasures of Scripture will be added unto you, including the humbleness of being right. But having the grace of not trying to always wanting to prove it, but be fully persuaded in your own heart and mind about the truths of God's word that you have learned. Be ready to give an answer to any man that asks about the hope that's within you, and avoid silly arguments. In closing, I have Matthew 6, verse 30 and 32. Jesus speaking, and this is coming from the one that we serve. If we do not know this and do not accept this, then we are truly failing at contentment. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, wherefore do you doubt, or do you take thought? That means to worry. Why do you worry? Saying, well, what shall I eat? So obviously these people were lacking already, or the fridges were getting lower in the freezers. Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these do the Gentiles seek. We are not of them. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them, need of all of these. And he will make sure you will have, and you will never, ever lack. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, good.
Hear me. Want to hear a joke? I don't have one. Sorry. God is good. He is patient, kind, and best of all, there's a place called heaven waiting for those who love him. Do you love God? You love God, hands up, or else, we got a few, hallelujah. Well, Jesus is God, and he made it possible for us to enter into the kingdom of God, to become like he is. That's a mouthful. How do we become like he is? By accepting the blood of Jesus for your salvation. The Bible teaches us, be perfect as God is perfect. How is that possible? Only one way. The perfection is given to you. Only under these conditions do you enter into the kingdom of God. The perfection is given to you. Hallelujah. That saved my life so many times already. Get into arguments. They have do's and don'ts and all sorts of things. theology. They ask me, what do you got to brag about? My perfection was given to me. Hallelujah. I brag about my Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. That's the problem with many of us. We're wise in our own eyes. We lean unto our own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God is challenging us not to lean onto our own understanding. When you come to church here or to any church, what are you looking for? A nice little nest to fit in? What is your drive for church? Do you want to notice God? Do you want to know him intimately? Well, if you lean onto your own understanding, you will often miss the mark. So you have to seek the Word of God. Never, ever make a move when God shows you something that it's not in the Word. How about here? Reaching out ministries. We've been here for what? 20, 30 years? For the last 20 years or till about 2 years ago, it went on same old, same old. I got up to preach. James got up to sing. Steve made sure the chairs were there. Everybody was happy. Everybody. We had a nice Sunday sermon. Adios. See you next week. Is that what Christianity is all about? God is speaking to each and every one of us. He wants us to hear from him. He wants us to seek him out. And he wants you, if he has the word, to testify. Let him that hears speak to him that preaches. It's in the word. So, how many have you got here to hear from God? They know it's important. And they let it die. Why? Because they are ashamed. They're too timid to come up here and share it. Well, I made it easy. Just write a note. Walk up here and give it to me or to James. Speak what God speaks to the churches. We need to understand that. God has set in church prophets. He has set in church teachers. He has set all of us evangelists. What for? For the edifying of the church, for the perfection of the saints, so that we will rejoice in our hearts what God has done for us. We've had many, many, many people come through this church. They last 1, 2 Sundays, and they're gone. Why? They don't quite look for the truth. I have personal friends who go from church to church who have never in the last 30 years set foot in this church. Why? Because they know I will touch their hearts. I will not be nice, Dave, when I'm visiting. I can be nice. I can have jokes. I can be fun, and I usually am. But when God speaks to me, I make sure I don't deviate from what he tells me. So if there's anybody here who wants to hear from God, and God shows me, be sure I'll tell you. I may not tell you in front of everybody. I will tell you in person. God said we are our brother's keepers. Up till now, I used to think that's your business. I mind mine, you mind yours. That's not what Scripture teaches. We gotta look out for each other so we can lead each other in paths of righteousness. God is a good God. He's not a spoiled sport. He's not gonna rob you of your pleasures, your enjoyments. But he wants your heart. And if your heart leans towards your pleasures and your enjoyments, God usually does something to his child. He will rebuke, reprove, so that you will turn back to him. Because he's got the best in mind for us. Remember, we got the judgment seat of Christ coming up. We'll all stand before God to give an account of what we did, what our true meaning was when we did it. Did we do it to honor this God? Or to see how good we are when we speak. God warns, anything that is not of me will perish. If it's gold, it says, other foundation can no man lay, except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you're on that foundation, you're okay. But if you build with gold, precious stones, and wood, hay, or stubble, it'll be separated. You will suffer loss, or you will gain crowns. God has given you the ability to gain crowns, and that's the joy of his heart. When you take a crown that he gave you and you use it for the kingdom of God. So turn to him. I mean, you may be mediocre. We sometimes are. We sometimes slip. But turn to this God. Ask him to reveal himself to you so you can walk before him in integrity, knowing that your God is pleased with you. I thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
I'll meet you in the morning by the bright river side when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long, dreary day. I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down. old acquaintance renewed. You'll know me, you'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear. When I meet you in the morning, in the morning, in the city that is built for square. I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way, on the streets of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy forever, while the years and the ages shall roll. I'll meet you in the morning, with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river, and with rapture old acquaintance renewed. You'll know me in the morning, in the morning, by the smile that I wear, when I meet you in the morning, in the morning, in the city that is built for square.